The Bhagavad Gita, everybody knows Bhagavad Gita here, right? They know something on Bhagavad Gita. Used to be translated the Song of God, but it literally means spoken by God, or it could be song, Gita, Bhagavan. Krishna himself came 5,000 years ago. So he spoke this Bhagavad Gita, and he says a lot about it, like in chapter 9. Well, in the beginning, in chapter 4, he says that he spoke this to the sun god Vibhasvan. So that was in the very beginning of this universe, quite a long time ago. But it's been passed down. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarsayo vidu. Sakalaneha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. That he says that after he spoke it to the sun god Vibhaswan, he spoke it to Manu, father of mankind, and Manu spoke it to Ikshvaku, who was one of the first kings on earth. And then it was handed down, especially amongst the kings, the royalty. And they would know it, and then they would run their kingdom according to the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, so that was very nice. But gradually, sakalaneha mahata yoga nashta, it seems to be lost, Krishna says. It appears to be lost. Not ever really lost. There's always somebody that knows it and is following it. But like now, it might appear to be lost, even though so many of you are hearing the Bhagavad Gita. So many more people are at the pubs, the cinema house, right? Wasting their lives. They always see the news that some new movie came and how many millions of dollars in one weekend, you know, people spent to go see that movie. And then a couple weeks later, nobody even remembers it. There's another one. So Bhagavad Gita should be like that. Today, of course, many, many Bhagavad Gitas are distributed and given because it's in honor of the appearance of Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna says in chapter 9, Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavatam Idamutama Vaksya Bhagamam Dharmam Susukam Kartamavyam. So he's talking about Bhagavad Gita, and he's talking about the real essence of it, bhakti. Raja Vidya, the king of knowledge, topmost knowledge. And Raja Guya is also secret, king of secrets. So you might say, what's the secret? Why are you giving it to everybody? The open secret. The foolish person, even if he reads it, they won't understand. But we give everyone a chance. And anyone who does try to read it, they'll get some benefit. They'll get purified because it's Krishna. These words, when we're reading, and it's exactly what Krishna spoke to Arjuna. So it's the same Krishna speaking, and we're hearing, but we may not be hearing as well as Arjuna. Arjuna, Krishna told Arjuna, Bhaktosi me priyasa ki, because you are my devotee and my friend, and you're not envious. Then I'm telling you, this knowledge shouldn't be given to envious people. And it can't be. The envious people, they don't want it. So we present to everyone, but if someone doesn't want it, if they're envious and challenging, then we just leave them on their own until they come around. So this Bhagavad Gita is the most auspicious thing practically in the world at the moment. It's for everyone. It's not a Hindu book. It's called, by some people, the Hindu Bible. Bible actually just means book, actually, in some language. Biblio. In Spanish, it's Biblio, I think. Anyway, it just means book. So when they refer to the Bible, it's supposed to be the great book, you know, because it's religious, it's teaching. The Bhagavad Gita it's meant for everyone. It's not a sectarian book. Krishna's not the god of India. He's not Indian. Nobody is Indian or English or American. People ask me where I'm from. Of course, sometimes it's, you just say, but where am I from? I'm from Krishna. This body in this life is born in some place, but this body now is made up of so many places, right? Because changing all the time. And it was never a product of that place, actually. It's a product of the material nature. But it's all put together by the power of the soul and by Krishna. So we actually all come from Krishna. We're in different, apparently different bodies, but not that much difference. Right? So I even saw one, some scientists now are saying that the whole idea of different races of humans, that's not right, they're all the same. Look, skin color is different, sometimes the shape of the body, the nose is different. But we're not these bodies. So that's the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Deno smin yata dehe komaram yovanam jara tata deyanti diras tacha namuyate. That the soul takes a body and komaram yovanam, it grows up, you know, goes through different stages, and then finally you have to leave the body. Becomes useless one way or another. But the self-realized soul is not bewildered by that change. Then Krishna describes in chapter 2 the nature of the soul. Namriyate, najayate, namriyate, vakadachin. For the soul there's never birth and there's never death. He's ever eternal. He didn't begin anywhere and he doesn't cease. Can't be burned or frozen, or, you know, our bodies can be burned and frozen and all kinds of suffering. But the soul is not. The soul will just, when the body gets destroyed by whatever devastation comes its way, the soul just moves on to another body. So that's a major teaching. People ask, do you believe in reincarnation? Somehow one time I was in Nigeria, we went to television. Unfortunately, the electricity went off and we couldn't finish the show. But he said, where was I from? So I said, do you mean in this body? You know, do you mean, and then he, oh, you believe in reincarnation? You know, and so it was, I found it to be a good way to talk about reincarnation without being, you know, we believe in this, we, you know. It makes sense, you know, where are you from? Who are you? Right? People ask, what about my soul? Especially Christian people ask. My soul, but we say, no, you are the soul. It's your body. Not that the body is you and the soul is yours, right? But if you're thinking that the soul is just a prana, just the life force, then that's not the... But Krishna is describing what the soul really is, and then what is the goal that we can attain the nature like Krishna. The soul is like Krishna. It's eternal. It's full of bliss, full of knowledge. So Krishna, you know, he's glorifying the Bhagavad Gita, Raja Vijaya, Raja Guhyami. He says that someone who studies this sacred conversation, they worship me with their intelligence. And he says, there's no one more dear to me than someone who teaches this. And anyone can teach Bhagavad Gita, whatever we know about it. Even if we just tell people, I like this book, and you might like it also. You know, many people will testify that how much the Bhagavad Gita has changed their life completely, and you know, they gave up all kinds of abominable habits, and change their whole life. So many people. And then at the end, this, I guess you know the story, but of course Krishna was speaking the Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield. And Sanjaya, who was the secretary of Dhritarashtra, the king, the blind king. So he had been empowered by his guru, Vedavyasa, that he could witness everything that was going on that battlefield. So the first thing was, you know, everybody got lined up, and then Arjuna, you know, said he wasn't going to fight, threw down his bow and fell on the ground, and then Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. So Sanjaya was telling it to Dhritarashtra as it went along. So then at the end here, Krishna says, one who explains this sacred secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. He will come to me. There's no servant in the world more dear to me, nor will everyone be more dear. I declare that one who studies this sacred conversation worships me with his intelligence. So there are different ways to worship Krishna. We can just come and pray and offer something to Krishna. But we want to use our mind, body, and intelligence. If we just come and bow down, that we're worshiping Krishna with our body. You know, if we chant Krishna's glories, if we remember Krishna, if we think how beautiful Krishna is, how beautiful the deities are, then the mind and the intelligence we need to utilize also, very important. Intelligence wants to be fixed up, so it can guide the mind and senses. So by studying the Bhagavad Gita, one is worshipping Krishna with his intelligence. Then Shodavan Anasuyas Cha Shinuyad Api Yonara Sopi Mukta Subalokan Prapnuvanti Punya Karmana. Those are easy words, right? If you, in Hindi, a lot of the words are the same. One who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from sinful reactions and attains the auspicious planets where the pious dwell. That's Krishna's. Second to the last statement in Bhagavad Gita. One who listens, and this we find many places in the Bhagavad Gita and in all scripture, with faith. If someone is just listening to it, like students go to college and they have to have a class in Bhagavad Gita, they don't have any faith. They may be memorizing it because they think it's interesting, or they're speculating about it, but they don't have faith in Krishna. They don't have faith in these words, that if we just hear this nicely, we can attain to the spiritual world. And he says also, those who are not envious. Srimad Bhagavatam in the very beginning says, Dharma Projita Kaitavotra Nirmat Saranam Satam. That this is this scripture kicks out materially motivated religion. People that are performing religious activities for some material gain is completely rejected by Bhagavad Gita and by Krishna. It says one who worships a demigod is a fool. You know, everything is meant for him. And then it says, Nirmat Saranam Satam. One who is not envious, who's pure in heart, they can understand this. So Krishna says that those who are envious cannot understand. And they don't want to hear it, envious people. Why should you listen to Krishna? What about me? You know, why should he be the supreme? What about this? I want that. So they don't want to hear about Krishna. But the devotees hold open classes. It's explained that although not everyone is a devotee, there are many men who are not envious. So they get a chance to hear and then they become devotees. By hearing Bhagavad Gita, even a person who does not try to be a pure devotee gets the result of pious activities. Those who are free from sinful reaction and who are righteous easily take to Krishna consciousness. The word punya karmanam is significant here. This refers to the performance of great sacrifices, like the Ashwamedha. Those who are righteous in performing devotional service, but are not pure, cannot get the higher planet. But those who are not envious and just try to serve Krishna, Krishna gives all the directions in Bhagavad Gita. Just whatever you do, whatever you eat, offer to Krishna. So then he says, have you heard this with an attentive mind? He asked Arjuna at the end. Krishna spoke this very quickly, about an hour. It's hard to believe, but I heard one woman in Africa, and she had memorized Bhagavad Gita, and she was chanting it so much. And she was chanting it so fast, I couldn't pick out, you know. And she did it in about 1 hour, the whole sense. And it was clear, but, you know, you have to really... But Arjuna had a clear head, and he says, have you heard it attentively? Then he asked him, has your ignorance and illusion been dispelled? So he's asking him, did it work? You know, now Krishna spoke it, then he's asking, you know, is it okay? Do you need any more? Then Arjuna is showing us how to understand the Bhagavad Gita. Nashta moha smitir labdha. He says, my illusion is dispelled and my memory is regained. Nashta moha. Illusion is gone and smriti, memory, is back. Because Arjuna was bewildered. How can I fight? You know, these are my relatives. Better we just, you know, go in the forest and let them do whatever they want rather than all the violence. By your mercy, I've regained. Twat prasadam mayachuta. By your mercy, I'm firm and free from doubt. Sitto smi gata sandeha. Karisye vachanam tava. He calls him achuta, infallible. Everything, my doubts are removed. Krishna, earlier Arjuna says these doubts are like demons. And only you, Krishna, can correct it. You can kill these demons of doubt. So, doubt is a function of the intelligence, according to Kapila Muni, the incarnation of Krishna. So we should doubt, you know, most people doubt any promise of spiritual life, but any advertisement promising sense gratification, they don't question it at all. Oh yeah, I'll try and go for it. But after, one should not blindly just rush in, because then you might blindly rush out also. But after we read and practice Bhagavad Gita and actually we see others and what effect it has and we see the real depth of Krishna's philosophy, then once we accept that, then we should follow as if blindly, because we know Krishna is the perfect leader and the Guru is the perfect leader, and if we follow, it's all for our better. It's a guide. You know, when you go in the jungle sometimes, people get lost, and then somebody comes and says, follow me, right? And they know the way out, right? Not everyone can find their way out. Even through the streets of London, you know, you have a guidebook. Do they have that here, the navigator in the phone? Yeah. You know, I see people in Japan just walking like this, you know, because they're navigating. Because it's hard to find your way around, right? The taxi drivers study for something like 5 years to memorize everything. So to find our way out of the material world, completely out of it, now that we can't even find a way around in it, we need Krishna, we need a guide, we need a guru. So moha means illusion. And when we forget Krishna, then smriti, brahmsat, we get into illusion. And memory is lost and we get into illusion. So that's the end of the conversation between Arjuna and Krishna. Krishna at one point said, now I've told you everything. Yateshasi tatakaru. Now you do whatever you want. Krishna is not saying, now you have to do what I say. I'm God, and if you don't do what I say, I'm going to snuff you right out. Right? Some people say God's like that. Right? He's vengeful and angry, and if you don't, you better be afraid. The devotees told Prabhupada in America one time, he said, we were taught to be afraid of God. Prabhupada said, oh no, he's your friend. You don't have to be afraid of him. You should be afraid of Maya, the illusory energy. If we forget Krishna, we should be afraid of that. But if we are with Krishna, there's no problem. So then Sanjaya, who had heard the whole thing and witnessed it, he said, I've heard this conversation between two great souls, Arjuna and Krishna, and it's so wonderful that my hair is standing on end. And by the mercy of Vyas, I've heard it directly from the master of all mysticism, Krishna, who's speaking directly to Arjuna. Heard this confidential knowledge. It's confidential. It's for those who are devotees and not envious of Krishna. Friends. But there are many people who aren't envious. And they're really devotees, but they don't know. So that's why we present Bhagavad Gita everywhere, to wake people up so they can understand who they are. Then Sanjaya says, as I repeatedly recall this wondrous and holy dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I take pleasure being thrilled at every moment. So that's how we should feel when we hear Bhagavad Gita. Anybody feel that way when they read it? I mean, really, hair standing. But we feel something better than other things, right? I try to tell people, like, Bhagavad Gita, in India, I was distributing Bhagavad Gita on the train. And the Indian Bhagavad Gita is very cheap. It's 100 rupees. And so many people are saying, I don't have money. But they're reading two or three newspapers, a lot of them, every day. I said, how much is that newspaper? They said, 3 rupees. So in 1 month, that's 100 rupees. If you buy the Bhagavad Gita, you won't care for the newspaper. You'll save so much money. Right? And just read the Bhagavad Gita over and over again. You don't need all these other books. So many bookstores full of books, and now they're so many books about how there's no God. And they're all boring. They're all the same. You know, sometimes there's something technical you need for your work or something. But mostly people are just reading all same old stories. Names and places. So I take pleasure, thrilled at every moment. So this is how we should feel. And I know I've read the Bhagavad Gita, I don't know how many times. I know some devotees who have kept track, they just read it over and over again. I read here and there. But it's always better and better, and it's always like, boy, that's new, I never knew that before. Because Krishna is unlimited. That's one, and also our memory is not very good, so we won't remember very much anyway. But no matter how much we study, the more we read it, the better it gets. So that's why I'm trying. We ask everybody, if they have Bhagavad Gita, please read it. You know, or find a way to hear it. So as I remember the beautiful form of Krishna, I'm struck with wonder more and more, and I rejoice again and again. So Sanjaya could see everything. He could see the universal form, and he could see, hear everything Krishna was saying. But it was exhibited for Arjuna, but some of the great devotees also saw it. Not everybody could see. So the last verse of Bhagavad Gita says, Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna, Yatra Parto Dhanurdhara, Tatra Shir Vijayo Bhutir, Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. This is very nice. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, Yogeshwara. And wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will be certainly opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion. So wherever there's Bhagavad Gita, there's Krishna and Arjuna, wherever people are hearing Bhagavad Gita and practicing. And we see that. All those things are there. Morality, especially, is what just everybody's concerned about, the moral decline. I was at one church in America, and the pastor was saying, he said, I used to say moral decline, he said, but it's a moral nosedive, you know, like an airplane. Because he was just shocked at how bad everything was. He was a vegetarian, it was far out, because he was in a place where they have the biggest places where they keep cows, and the Johnny Walker whiskey factory was right next to his church, and... No, seriously. You know, thousands of tourists coming all the time to see the Johnny Walker whiskey factory. And he asked me, he said, what do you do about all this homosexuality and all this sexual perversion? So I told him, and then he said, well, he was telling everybody that I asked Kavi, and he said, the same, they believe the same as us, you know. And he was teaching vegetarian, raw food in a Christian church in America. People were losing 50 pounds in 3 months. But he loved Bhagavad Gita also. And anybody that reads Bhagavad Gita, that's not an envious person, that's not just demoniac, they'll like it. And the more, if we can associate with them and help them, it changes people's lives. So many people have changed by reading Bhagavad Gita, from being not exactly atheist, but not religious, not concerned with very much, not concerned with the future. But reading Bhagavad Gita, understand that, you know, we're preparing for the next life. And Krishna describes all these things and how everything is working, how the modes of nature, how the mind is working. I showed one guest down there last week in the restaurant. He was just looking at the Bhagavad Gita. He goes, oh, there's a lot of knowledge. I can see there's a lot of knowledge here. And then he took it. I said, what is your work? He said, I'm a psychiatrist. So he was thinking that this would be useful. Actually, many psychiatrists, they recommend Bhagavad Gita. One Ayurvedic doctor in India, he was keeping them, and he said, I get some patients where I see there's nothing I can do for them. So I give them Bhagavad Gita, and he said, it always helps them. You know, he said, their mind is so disturbed that they can't, there's no medicine that can help them. He gives them Bhagavad Gita, and he says, it always helps them. They always do much better. Because he really believed in it, and told them, read this, you know, and we want to do that. That's why devotees are going out every day in the cold and rain or whatever it is, and giving Bhagavad Gita to so many people. Jai Nitai went out today, he wants to give out 108 Bhagavad Gita. He said he had donations already, he's been working on it all week, going to all the shops around here. So, you know, whatever, devotee, and we want to imbibe it, read it again and again. It's not like, oh, I read that book. Not like an ordinary book. This is many people read the Bhagavad Gita every day. Some people read the whole thing every day. Seriously, faithfully, not academically, but it's about really developing our, Krishna says, about our relationship with the Supreme. Who are we and who is Krishna and what is our relationship? How to, you know, develop that. Everybody, we all want relationships with people. But to relate properly with people, we have to understand Krishna's in everyone's heart. You know, and it's actually Krishna. We want to please Krishna, and that pleases everyone. So it's a most amazing book, and we hope you, and we're glad everyone's coming here to hear a little discourse. And You probably all have them. But if you don't have it, please get one. Get a few, one for your office, and one for the car, and one for the house, one for each bedroom, whatever. People here like have a television in every room, like America, right? How many people have a Bhagavad Gita in every room? No, I have it. It's on this shelf somewhere, I think. I have it. Where? People tell me I have it at home in India, and they live here. They've been here for 3 or 4 months anyway, or they're going to be... No, I have it at home. I have it at home in India. Well, great. Maybe they have mystic power to read it. Some yogi could do that, travel back to India every night and read the Bhagavad Gita. No, it should be everywhere so that, we can read it without having to look for it, right? Without having to search the house and try to remember where we put it. Because it's so valuable. And the more we read it, the better it gets. So I thank you very much. I have to go now somewhere. And then a few minutes we'll be greeting Krishna, the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita. This Krishna is the same Krishna that spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, that fought on the battlefield, that played with the gopis. It's Krishna. He does everything. Amazing. Right? And he wants everyone to read Bhagavad Gita. That's why this movement is going on. And he could just do it himself, but he gives everyone that chance to do that confidential service of giving Bhagavad Gita to someone. You're giving Christmas presents, whatever. Anybody, the most valuable thing we can give them is Bhagavad Gita. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Gita Jayanti ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.